But it reminds me of how this time of the year, it's so cold and it's so dark this time of the year. And it reminds me that in dark times, we need that light of Christ. And so right now I'm in a series, it's a two-part series of messages called Light in the Darkness. And how in those dark times, in the midst of our battles, in the midst of our storms, we need that light. It can seem so cold in our lives, so dark in our lives, and we need that light of Christ to shine in. Last week I spoke about the hope that we have in Christ and how we need that hope to shine into our life. Sometimes when the storms are so dark, we can start to lose hope, and we need that hope to shine through. There's a quote, God brings men into deep waters not to drown them, but to cleanse them. Interesting statement. This statement is actually referring to two different kinds of waters. You know, the first is talking about those storms. It's talking about when those storms come against us, it can feel like waters that are drowning us. But the other kind of water he's talking about is talking about the presence of God and that healing balm of Jesus in our lives. Sometimes the storms can leave us broken. We are wounded, we're hurting, struggling with our own pains and issues. And these deep pains are the ones that God wants to heal in our lives. Today I want to preach on healing for the brokenhearted. Healing for the brokenhearted. God heals the broken. God heals the broken. In Psalm 147, the psalmist, he's singing praises to God for God's mighty power in his life, for the reality of what God has already done. He acknowledges God has either done it in his life or he's seen someone else where God has worked mightily in their lives, and he recognizes that mighty power of God. And so Psalm 147, verse 3, he says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The writer of the psalm here recognizes the power of God that has worked in the lives of those around him or perhaps in his own life. He recognizes what God has already done, and he recognizes he's received that healing in his own life, or he's seen others that have received that healing. You may be going through brokenness today. You may be going through your own struggles, your own pains, and so you can relate to what the writer of this psalm is saying here. You understand that brokenness. And if you're not going through it now, I guarantee you've gone through your own brokenness at some point in your life. You can relate to the writer of this psalm. You understand him. God places himself. It's not man that places him there, but God places himself as a nurturing, caring father, a father that cares about us, a father that wants to bind up our wounds. If you didn't raise with a father, your father passed away, or maybe you had an abusive father as a child, it might be hard for you to relate to this picture of God as a caring father. You might have those pains that you carry with you from having a childhood with an abusive father or not having a father at all. And so it's hard to understand that picture of God as a healing and caring father. But this is how God talks about himself, as one that binds up our wounds. I picture myself as kind of a Band-Aid dad. When my kids fall down, get hurt, I tend to be, right or wrong, whether it's a good parenting tactic, I tend to be the first one that's there to want to pick them up and put a Band-Aid on them. And my kids hate Band-Aids, but I that's always been my heart. I want to take care of them, nurture them, and let them know that I love them and I care about them. And that in itself is a picture of who God is as a father in our lives, one that wants to nurture us. One that wants, my son's a little older now, but my youngest one still stubs his knee. But there's a picture of God, one who nurtures and cares for us and wants to bind up our wounds. God wants to heal your broken heart. Whatever your emotional struggles are, your spiritual struggles are, God wants to heal your broken heart. And grieving is an important process. God has put this process of grieving in our lives, it's something that helps us to heal when we're going through hurts and loss and pains to grieve. But ultimately, God wants to give you His joy and His peace in your life. He wants to bring His forgiveness into your heart. Sometimes what's causing us to have a wounded heart, a broken heart, is not just what happens to us, but it's what, but I mean, not just like the loss of a loved one, but also sometimes it's what somebody says to us or somebody does to us. And it causes those bitter hurts and pains in our lives that God wants us to have forgiveness through, to be able to forgive that individual and move past that pain and past that hurt. God wants to bring that kind of healing in your life. He wants to bind up your emotional and spiritual wounds. Not all wounds are physical. Not all wounds are the stubbed toe and the broken leg or the cut finger. Not all wounds are physical. A lot of times they are emotional and they are spiritual, where we have such a hard time engaging a prayer life or wanting to get into God's Word simply because we hurt too deeply. They are emotional and oftentimes spiritual wounds in our lives. We can see an example of the psalmist's testimony of what he's talking about here. We can see it in chapter 30. In Psalm 30, the psalmist again is praising God for his past victories. He sees what God has done in the past in his life, where God has brought healing into his heart, healing into his life, and also where God has helped him at some point in his life. And in Psalm chapter 30, verses 1 through 3, it says, "I extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit." The psalmist here felt so low. Whatever trauma happened in his life, he felt so low that he felt like he was in the pit, that he felt almost unto death. That's how traumatic his experience was in his life. He was so low, so down, already dead even, and yet God made him alive. God lifted him up. God healed him. And we see that testimony here in his life. God places himself as the one who will lift us up. God places himself as the one who brings that healing in our lives. Whatever your brokenness is in your heart and in your life, God is the one that places himself as the one that wants to bring healing and lift you up. And like I said, not all foes are easily seen. The psalmist there writes about the foes that are around him, but not all foes are easily seen. We can't just, in fact, a lot of times, those enemies in our life, those foes are the ones that are felt. Those are the ones that we bury deep down inside us, the ones that we don't share with others, the ones that nobody else knows about, yet we struggle with day after day, that hurt and that pain that we're not letting others in. They don't know about it, but yet we know it, because we're struggling with it in our lives. If you're feeling down today, or if you've been feeling down this week, God wants to lift you up. God wants to lift you out of that pit. 8 verses later, the psalmist, the writer of that psalm there, he rejoices in a physical demonstration of his praise. He dances. He has this just absolute outpouring of his praise unto God. We see in verse 11, he writes, "You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." The psalmist is praising God. He's saying that God has taken his mourning, God has taken his hurts and taken his suffering and taken whatever he's going through right now, and he's turned it into gladness. He's turned it into dancing in his life. And he rejoices unto God. And this is what God does incredibly well in our lives. This is what God does so well with us. He turns our mourning into dancing and into gladness. He makes us glad. When you face that kind of brokenness, when you face that kind of brokenness where you feel like you're in the pit, where you are on rock bottom, where you're so hurting and so broken that there's only one place to look, and that's up. You know, some of you are there. You know those pains. You know the hurts that I'm talking about, where you're on the bottom and the only place you can look, because you're flat on the bottom, the only place you can look is up. And that's where God wants you to look. Some of you are trying to praise God through the pain. Some of you are trying to give God thanks, and you don't even know why. You don't understand why, but you're giving God praise. You're saying, God, thank you. I'm suffering, but thank you. I praise you. But God, friends, God is going to give you something to praise about. He wants to heal your broken heart. He wants to bind up your wounds. So just keep praising Him. Some of you aren't ready to praise. Some of you are at a place in your life where you've got no dance in you. You've got no praise in you. Friends, just keep looking up. Just keep looking up. God wants to give you something to praise about. He is so faithful. He wants to bind up your wounds and heal your broken heart. And so you're saying to me, yes, God did this for the psalmist David. God did this for the writers of the Psalms. Yes, God did it for them, but how does God do it for me? How can I receive this kind of gladness and joy in my life when I'm going through suffering and hurts and pains? How does God do this for me? How can you be healed of your brokenness? I want to give you, if you have a pen and paper, these are good ones to write down. If you're going through suffering in your life, these are great. Number one, trust and seek God. In Isaiah chapter 26, trust and seek God. In Isaiah chapter 26, it's a song that is penned by Isaiah. Isaiah wrote this song for the people of Israel, for Judah. And it's written to a people who are concerned with their national security. They're worried about the enemies that are around them. They don't know what's going to happen. They're stressed out. They need the peace of God in their life and for their mind and for their heart. And so in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it writes, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." This kind of peace comes in two forms. There's the peace from their enemies. They're worried about their enemies all around them, and there's that peace from their enemies. But there's also a peace with that comes a peace of mind. Because if you're not worried about your enemies or those that are around you, then you can have that kind of peace of mind. But there is also that kind of peace of mind that God wants to give. And God speaks to both in His Word. If you read through the Word, you can see where God speaks both to a peace from the enemies, but also a peace in our heart and in our mind. We desire to have peace with others. We desire to not be engaged in emotional and verbal warfare with our friends and with our neighbors and with those that we work with. We don't want that frustration, so we want that kind of peace in our lives. But for those that are struggling with hurts and pains and brokenness in their life, we need that kind of peace that's in our heart, in our emotions, in our mind as well. And it begins with trusting in God. It begins with trusting in God. Faith is a key to experiencing God's peace in your life. He is our peace, and we have to begin to trust that God is our peace and that He wants us to experience that peace. And so it begins with faith and trust in God. But the second crucial component is staying tuned in to the Lord, staying in His Word, seeking Him in prayer, and then allowing for Him to speak that peace into your mind and into your heart. So number one, trust and seek God. Number two, humble yourself, repent, and pray. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, King Solomon he's sacrificing to God, and he's dedicating the temple unto God. And it really an incredible thing. He sacrificed so many, more than probably anybody else I've read about, that sacrifice to God at that time, in dedicating the temple to Him. And so God, in turn, blesses both Solomon and blesses the temple that is being dedicated. And then He says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, He says this, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. God knew that his people were struggling. God knew that his people were dealing with sin. God knew what his people were going through and that they needed a blessing for their land. And he says, if you will humble, and he's talking to his people here, those that are seeking his face, if you will humble, if you will pray, and if you will seek and repent, he says, then I will bless you. Then I will bless you. So perhaps you are suffering today. Perhaps you're feeling brokenness. Perhaps you're feeling pain today. Or perhaps you're struggling with sin. Now, I don't say those aren't the same thing. But here, the writer here is talking about both the suffering and both the sin. And we struggle with both. And God made the path absolutely crystal clear here. He says, humble yourself, first of all. Humble yourself. Realize that God is the creator, that you are the creation. Realize that you can't do it without him, that you're trying to get through your pains and struggles, but you realize humbly that you need God's touch in your life. And then he says to repent of your sins. If you're struggling with sins in your life or have some sins that you need to be repented of, that you would repent of that. You would turn from that. You would cut that out of your life. Say, God, I don't want to do that any longer. I want to be obedient to your word, so I'm going to stop sinning against your word. And then he says to pray and to seek his face. So the next step is to seek God, to pray and seek God. Seek him for this healing in your life. And he says, God will forgive. And God will bring the restoration, and not just for the land of Israel, not just for their land, not just for their crops, but for your heart and your life as well. It's not just true for them, it's true for you. He wants to heal your heart, he wants to heal your emotions, he wants to bind up your wounds and your struggles. Number three, hope in God. Hope in God. In the beginning of Psalm 42, this is actually a popular song. It's used in songs. It's as the deer pants forth the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone, and you know the song. You know the song. It's pretty popular. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And so the beginning of Psalm 42 is pretty popular. The psalmist here, he remembers that God is his living water. He remembers that God is the one that has touched and influenced his life. He remembers that God is loving kindness, that God is his source of the loving kindness, and that God is his rock. And so he remembers, the writer of the psalm remembers how awesome and incredible God is in his life. And then he asks himself the question in verse 5. He asks this, he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Why are you cast down? That's a question that you need to ask yourself. Why are you cast down? Why are you feeling so hopeless or so gloomy as you're going through your storms, as you're going through your battles? Oftentimes, when you realize where your true victory comes from, there's no reason to feel gloomy. There's no reason to feel cast down because you know where your victory comes from. You know where your strength comes from. You know where your help comes from. Why am I feeling down? Why am I feeling gloomy? Why am I feeling frustrated through all of this? And so again, we say, look up. Your hope is in God. Your hope is in God, and your refreshing comes from him. You know where your hope comes from. And then I would also say, put into practice these things that I'm talking about today. You know where your help comes from. Begin to seek Him. Begin to look to Him. Begin to call out to Him. Begin to rest in Him. Begin to cast your cares on Him. God wants to heal your brokenheartedness. God wants to bind up your wounds. Trust in Him to do it. Number four, cast your cares on God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter is providing itemized counsel to the church. Peter is speaking on humility in chapter 5 of 1 Peter. He says that God resists the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. And so verses 6 and 7 of 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. This begins with being willing to let go of those things that frustrate and hurt you. And this takes humility. It takes humility to be willing to let go, being able to say, you know what, I'm not in control of this any longer. It takes humility, being humble enough to say, God, You are in control. You are in control. I don't know how to do it without Your strength. I need Your help. God, You are in control, and I am not. It takes being humble enough to say, you know, God truly cares about my problems. I'm humble enough to admit that God cares about what's going on in my life, that He cares what's happening with me. And then you can cast your cares onto God. You cast your cares in prayer. Lord, take this from me. Help me through this. Heal my broken heart. Heal me of my burden. You cast your cares and not holding on to the pain. Lord, I'm letting go of this. I'm willing to forgive those that have hurt me. I'm willing to allow You to bring this healing into my life. For some of you, maybe you need to write down the pains. Take a piece of paper and write it down and say, God, this is what's hurting me. This is what's frustrating me. This is the brokenness in my life. And then you take that and you can lay it on the altar and literally say, God, I'm giving this to You, or wherever your altar is that you want to be your altar, and just give that to God. Burn it up, throw in the trash, say, God, this is Yours. I'm handing this over to You. Cast your cares. Give it to God. Number five. Rest in God. Rest in God. Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, He's declaring a special connection with the Father. You know, I'm one with the Father with me, and God has given me all of this. And talking about that special relationship, all that the Father has is His too. And then He says in verse 28 of Matthew 11, He says, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is saying, come to Me. Come to Me with your problems. Come to Me with your issues. Jesus says, I know you're struggling. I know what you're going through. I know the pains you're dealing with. I know the burdens. I know the frustrations. Come to Me with it. And He says, I'm going to give you something which is in My power to give you. I have the authority and the power to give this to you. I'm going to give you rest. If you are weary and burdened today, come to Jesus and rest in Him. If you're going through pains and struggles today, come to Jesus and rest in Him. If you're dealing with brokenness and bitterness and hurts, come to Jesus and rest in Him. And this is what I've been talking about this whole time. This whole message is talking about resting in the Lord, resting in Jesus for what He has done for you in your life, being able to take that to Him and rest in Him. This becomes a kind of peace that goes beyond our circumstance, a kind of peace that goes beyond what we're dealing with, a kind of peace only that can come through Jesus. And perhaps today, perhaps you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never made that ultimate decision. Receive Jesus today and find rest in Him. Receive Jesus and find that true rest. He will begin to heal the broken pieces of your heart. When we think of rest here in this church, a lot of times we'll think of the Sabbath. We'll think of the Sabbath because the Sabbath literally means rest. We think about a day that we can escape from the stress and the burden of the work that's going on in our life. Work can so easily burn us out. We need that kind of rest. We need that kind of rest that Jesus is speaking about, which is this rest he's speaking about is sweeter still. Because he's not just talking about a day of rest. He's not talking about just resting from your work. He's not just talking about rest from the stress. But he's talking about rest which is for your spiritual life, a rest for your soul. When I was going through Bible college, I took a class. I took a, it was a class for church planning. It was an assessment, and they assessed me. And for the most part, I was an outsider. I was older than the other students. I was living off campus. I didn't know the other students as well as they knew each other. And I didn't belong to their church group. I was going to their college, but I wasn't a part of their church groups. And so I was kind of a bit an outsider. And to be honest, I probably didn't take the class very seriously at the time. I thought I could just breeze through the class because it wasn't really like there wasn't a homework. It was more activities, group activities, that sort of thing. So I thought I could breeze through it. And as a result, I got critiqued pretty heavily. They said some things which I thought the teachers were pretty unfair, actually. It hurt me. The way they talked to me, the way they critiqued me, it wounded me. I cried. I went to work. I couldn't even work. I cried at work. My boss let me go home. I cried at home. I cried to my wife. I called my mom up. I cried to my mom. I was hurt. I actually went to a school counselor and just to chat because I felt confused. I felt hurt and confused and went and talked with a school counselor. And then I began to give it back to the Lord. I began to say, okay, God, I'm hurt. I'm frustrated. I have bitterness towards these teachers. Please help me through this. And God began to take me through this process. And it took a little bit of time. But I can tell you with absolute certainty, God brought emotional and spiritual healing to me. And to this day, I hold no bitterness towards those teachers. I forgive them. And it's all by the grace of God. God wants to bind up and heal your broken wounds. There's a song in your hymn book, "Safe is my refuge, sweet is my rest. Ill cannot harm me, nor foes e'er molest. Jesus, my spirit, so tenderly calms, holding me close in his mighty arms. Pressing my tear-stained cheek to his own, hushing my grief with his sweet, gentle tone, touching my heart with his healing balms, holding me still in his mighty arms. Oh, what wonderful, wonderful rest, trusting completely in Jesus I'm blessed. Sweetly he comforts and shields from alarms, holding me safe in his mighty arms." Our struggles and our battles, they can seem like a storm. They can seem dark. The clouds have moved in. We can't see through the fog. We can't see through the clouds. The winds are blowing against us. The rain is pummeling down on us. And yet we have a light through Jesus Christ. We have a hope that is in him, and we can make it through the storms. Perhaps you're feeling broken today. God wants to heal your brokenness. Jesus wants to bring you rest. Look to Jesus for your rest today. Look to him. Look to him even now. As the worship team is coming up, I want to say to you, if you're struggling with brokenness, if you're struggling with hurts and pains, the altars are open to you. I won't stop you today from seeking the Lord. In fact, I'm going to pray a prayer over you and just let the worship team do their thing. And I'll let them close up even. The worship time. I'm just going to say a final prayer. And if you want to bring your bitterness and your brokenness and your frustrations, or if you just want to seek God for some help in your life, the altars are open to you. Also, one final thing before I pray. If there's anyone that is needing to seek spiritual counsel for healing or for eternal life, I will gladly make myself available and find a safe space for you and I to talk. So feel free to come and seek me out as well. Let's pray. Father God, we struggle so much in life. We have so many hurts and pains, and I'm sure there's people here who are struggling deeply with hurts and doubts and fears and pains right now. And God, I just pray that you touch us today. Touch us with your healing balm. Bind up our wounds. Bring healing and restoration into our lives, I pray.